Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Knowing how to speak and understand a new language can be an invaluable tool when traveling, meeting new friends, or just even to master a new skill. But it's not always simple when you're bogged down by textbooks and structure classes. That's why so many people trust Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program, available on desktop or as an app. It truly immerses you in the language you want to learn, like Spanish, French, Italian, Chinese, and more. You won't just be studying English translations. The Rosetta Stone intuitive process helps you pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/rs10. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/rs10 today.
Welcome back to Comic Book Nation, the only show that does it all for geek culture and the official podcast of comicbook.com. Today, we are here to do one thing and one thing only, and it's to tell you what we thought about the new trailer for Joker, Folie à Deux, aka Joker 2. I'm Kofi Outlaw. Joining me today are my co-hosts, Matthew Aguilar, and Mr. Connor Casey is with us. What's up, boys?
Bonjour.
Now, this is a special little milestone, as I tweeted out, that, you know, Matthew Aguilar and I have officially been doing this long enough, and Comic Book Nation has been running long enough for us to have covered not one, but two Joker trailer drops. So, happy anniversary, Matt, buddy.
Yay!
I know you missed this. Matt will tell you fond stories of us sitting in the office and how we would just kind of share and just revel in the first Joker teaser. He'd look up from his desk and see me glaring over Tom like this, never blinking, as we watch that trailer over and over and over again. And I miss that, so we're back. Hey, buddy, I'm happy to be here, and I'm happy to be talking to you about this in, you know, what, 6 years of this? Doing this before Joker.
It took Kofi 5 seconds to send me a creepy tweet.
Oh yeah. Oh, it took all
the trailer.
I saw that trailer. You were the first person I thought of. I was like, when I saw that ending shot. Oh, that ending shot. And to all of you,
the ending shot
was great. Yeah, we're gonna get here because, of course, this is a DC movie release, and so the heat is already on. Film Twitter's losing its mind. I'm already kind of beginning. People I thought were safe feeds to be on are now turning on me. And with a lot of Joker hate, and we're going to get into all this. So let's just start with our impressions of this trailer. This movie is something when we knew we were getting a Joker sequel, I don't think we were thinking we were getting anything like a musical with Lady Gaga that has odes to many other musical numbers. We've already heard, like, the kind of track list for this is going to be pretty extensive. And so this was always going to be a kind of rather crazy question about what this film is. For this teaser, I think this teaser is just kind of easing us into the concept of what this Joker sequel is going to be and what the themes of it are and what the kind of basic framework of the story is, which is, you know, Joker and Harley falling in love and all of that, which we arguably haven't ever seen on screen, I don't think, like in any kind of extensive story. But of course, it'll be done in this very surrealist way, kind of mixing, you know, imaginings of film and culture media of this era, which was always like the 80s, late 70s era. And then, you know, with the real reality story of Joker and Harley, which kind of continues a lot of themes of the original film and the ending and the questions that the ending, you know, brought up about the reality versus kind of non-reality of all this and Arthur Fleck and several twists in the movie, you know, with Zazie Beetz's character. So I'm kind of interested to see, I think, in terms of direction, you know, Todd Phillips doing some of his best visual work, at least, kind of seeing just the imagery we get on this. And like I said, we're watching on screen right now, which is why you got to watch live this shot of painting the smile on the glass of the kind of cell and having him fit his smile over it. Such a small action, but so well done visually that it's creepy and it fits. And it reminds me of me and Matt in the office. And it brings that kind of resonance that you want.
I don't like being associated with this movie so much.
And so, I mean, visually this looks captivating. And so I'm very interested to see what this is going to be. And, you know, I think it's already going to be big. Gaga stands are going to see a lot of this and be like, oh, this is the music video I've always wanted. Yeah. So, and people asking in the comments, where did the money go? We've done extensive kind of reporting on this on comicbook.com. You can go check it out. Just go look up our Joker 2 kind of database. Most of this money went into paying. I mean, both of these actors are getting pretty big paydays for this. And like, yeah, I'm sure musical numbers, you know, the level of, you can already see that this is not the same $60 million budget, the extras, the set pieces that were already, this movie, I mean, they got to pay. I wonder how many they paid in just extras to fill out Arkham, to fill out the streets, these riots. Like, this isn't CGI extra stuff. This looks like a big production, a classic kind of production. So yeah, I can see where that money went, but I still think arguably they are spending, you know, smart, because like I said, you see that scene of them dancing through mayhem and it's like, that's a full set. That's like a real populated set. We don't get that a lot anymore. So I can see where the budget went for this, but visually, I mean, it does look like it at least shows up on screen, at least to me. I don't know how you guys feel. I know this movie series has nearly split the comic book nation down the middle. Before Charlie Ridgely is somewhere just mad in like his room right now.
That was epic.
Yeah. If you haven't listened to our Joker review podcast episode, go to our podcast feeds. Please do yourself the favor. Just go back to season one of the show, listen to our Joker review, and listen to this entire comic book staff nearly meltdown and just like the end of Joker and nearly take each other out. So I've said enough. What did you think, Matt, as a person who doesn't necessarily love all this, but does love very much good Joker and Harley Quinn stories? We'll be doing the poll list right after this where Matt will get into comic stuff. And so he loves that on the thing. You know, he loves a good White Knight story and things like that. So how do you feel about
this?
That's
true. Ah, man, I'm conflicted. I watched this trailer in about like halfway through. Well, not even that. I'll probably say like a quarter of the way through. I went, man, I didn't need another one of these. I was really okay. nothing. I was watching it and going, okay, yeah, this is about right. And, you know, like I can't hate on the quality of the production or any of that stuff. And I didn't hate on that from the first one either, but I was like, man, I really don't need this. And about midway through, we really start to like, you know, get into the, like, it really ramps up and we start to get to the more musical side of things and see how that whole playing with reality thing is going to be. And it's like, okay, that's interesting. I still wasn't sold. And then we get to that final scene, and that final scene is like one hell of it. That's got to be like, that's already on the list for like one of best trailer scenes of the year. I mean, that's just, that is incredibly powerful. And I just talk about like setting the stage for something. I am curious, and I'm going to watch this, even if we take the fact that like, I'm going to watch this regardless, because like, you know, we do this and we talk about it, but like, I'm going to watch this. There is a part of me that is curious about specifically that dynamic and how that progresses. Because if this was, I'll tell you right now, if this was just a Joker movie and this was just Joker 2, and we see more of Joaquin Phoenix and all that, I would not care. This is not the movie I need. And the first one wasn't the movie I needed. This one, you know, is taking some big swings, and that's really cool. But for me, like, it's going to be the Harley Joker of it all that makes this into something I would watch twice. We'll see how that goes. But regardless of what happens, that final scene will leave an impression.
Connor, you can be our hard-hitting heel of reality. What did you feel about this? I don't think we've actually gotten deep into what you feel about Joker in general, so maybe give us the whole breakdown.
Okay. Well, I found the discourse surrounding the initial Joker to be absolutely exhausting. I thought that you had the fanboys who wanted to try and make a culture war out of this. You had political pundits claiming this was going to be a rallying cry for incels that would lead to mass shootings inside of movie theaters. None of that happened. You had Todd Phillips ranting about cancel culture in his interviews. That's exhausting. For a movie that I left being like, it was just okay. It was derivative as all get out if you knew the work of Martin Scorsese. I thought Joaquin Phoenix was a great performance. And I was actually glad that he won the Oscar for that because I thought he went all out with his performance. But the rest of the movie didn't quite live up to the energy he was projecting. And then when they tell me there's going to be a sequel, I'm going, oh, great. We get to do all of this again. But then things started to come out. They're like, hey, no, it's actually a musical this time. And we got Lady Gaga. And I thought, okay, that could be something. Todd's never done a musical. And Lady Gaga, you're either getting A Star Is Born, great performance, or you're getting House of Gucci, which is just vamping for the camera the whole time. And I don't need that in my life again.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Luckily, with this trailer, it feels like we're getting the first and not the latter. I got to go with Matt on this. I am curious and cautiously optimistic. This doesn't feel like we're just trying to copy off of other movies from the 70s again. I'm interested as to what these dream or, you know, I don't know if we're leaving these as dream sequences with the musical numbers or if it's, hey, they're both just crazy. So this is how they're imagining it versus how it looks in the real world. All I can say is cautiously optimistic. I'm a little bummed that Todd is already coming out in interviews at CinemaCon being like, no, it's not a musical. And I'm just sitting back being like, how about why?
Seriously?
And I'm here like, where were you in the last 18 months where this kept being the label that was getting thrown around? And also, are we doing the thing we did with Wonka and Mean Girls where we don't say it's a musical because we're afraid to say it's a musical, even though it is a musical? And when this thing drops in October, are we going to be sitting back being like, yeah, he was full of it. It was a musical. Or is there more to it than that? That has me curious.
All right. That's everybody's feelings. Now we can stop being polite and start getting real. Man, y'all are out here on one, man. I think I've reached the point where I am so over film Twitter. Like, it is insane, like, just seeing the reactions, because I know we can debate anything, but, like, there are certain things. I feel like we're getting to a point where film Twitter thinks opinion is significantly more important than data. And it's like, feel how you want to feel about Joker. It's a movie that, you know, generated major awards nominations and a win for Joaquin Phoenix and made over $1 billion at the box office. I see somebody on Twitter, my brain nearly broke today when I saw somebody on Twitter trying to argue that, oh, a lot of trash movies get Oscars and Transformers Age of Extinction made over $1 billion at the box office. I'm like, yeah, but did either one of those things do both? You can't pick like little pieces of argument and glue them together and be like, that's logic. That's not logic. Something About Joker obviously spoke to a lot of people outside the fanboy film Twitter, you know, even cinephile thing in a mainstream way. Like, it's an achievement. You can't take that away from it. You can have an opinion about it and say, well, yeah, it wasn't for me, though. But, like, you can't say that it wasn't an achievement or it was trash or anything like that. The movie made over $1 billion and won a bunch of awards. How many comic book movies are effing with that kind of level? It's not. I also don't get, like, this whole thing where we are now. Like, this is weird, yeah. This is a weird Joker Harley story, but you know what? I have a memory that lasts longer than a hamster, apparently. So I remember that before this, we were all sitting around talking about how boring the genre's getting, how much there's fatigue, how much we need to see different things. This is something weird that makes you go, at least that's a good starting point. That's more than I feel of most Marvel DC trailers I see now, where it's just like, okay, whole movie, blah, 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 blah. Okay, I know what I'm going for. This is the McDonald's of entertainment now. So, like, this is going to be weird. It may not taste very good when I go, but I'm going to this tasting because it looks like it's going to be at a weird restaurant with a whole weird aesthetic, and I'm there for it. I want to check out and take some photos and tell my friends about it. And I already have some good imagery for this. Also, if we can, like, DC is kind of, like, really hurting my head in particular because we can do literally... I just want to curse so bad today. We can do literally anything in a Black Label Elseworlds book, right? And be like, this is prestige. Well, this is what this is happening on the screen to me. It's just like, this is DC's Black Label Elseworlds kind of like, let's take the Joker Harley story in that kind of demented, you know.
But who's saying that's not what they're doing?
I'm talking about film Twitter. I'm not raging at anybody here. Like, film Twitter is just like.
I'm wearing the shirt from the other Black Label movie that came out, and I freaking love that one.
Which one was that?
Batman.
Oh, yeah. See, exactly. Like, let's get weird. And, like, people just immediately dissing us, like, oh, my God, this is over. This is trash. This is this. It's like, bro, we've seen a teaser. Okay? It doesn't even fully reveal, like, the concept, the beats of the story or anything like that. We have no idea if this is a Joker story, if this is about Harley and, you know, where this is ending up and, like, what the actual commentary of the film is. And... It could be some weird Todd Phillips thing where it's like, you're not crazy for feeling like this. There's more people that feel like this too, and we're all here. But you know what? I've already seen Civil War this week. It's all bubbling up under the surface stuff, like, is a whole vibe right now. I get it. This might not be the one that hits it. I might come out of this being the one most disappointed. But I just feel like film Twitter is just getting nuts because I feel like there's this weird... I feel like it just doesn't tell us the scale of things. Like, the Venn diagram of hardcore DC fanboys who care about Batman lore that much and cinephiles who care about movies that much is so small. It's like the three of us plus two other guys. You know what I mean? Like, and I don't confuse that with being like the opinion of the mainstream masses. There are a million Gaga fans. Like I said, everybody who watched that Bad Romance video for 2 years of their lives, and I was in New York at the time. I saw the street performances. I lived in a theater district. Those kids were going nuts for years. Street performances, organized, choreographed, Gaga recreation things. You know what I mean?
I believe. Exactly.
Who they're going to see this dark, crazy stuff, and they're going to probably go nuts for this. Like, her fandom is coming out for this pretty much pretty easy. And like, yeah, there's going to be a lot of people who saw Joker and were like, are going to be really curious. And a lot of people are just morbidly curious. And even film Twitter is going to be morbidly curious to come see what's going on here. I think for me, I'm just happy that visually, you know, when I heard this concept again and you're telling me what you're throwing at us, I was like, okay. But like, I see this trailer and just on the raw visuals and aesthetic and kind of what they're going alone, I'm like, okay, we're not, the house isn't burning down. I mean, there is a burning house. There's literally a burning house down, I think, in this trailer. But, you know, metaphorically speaking, the house isn't burning down. It looks like everybody's getting tighter with their game. So
I do feel like I see the vision.
Vision. Yeah.
I feel like I see what they're going for.
I am genuinely curious what the movie wants to say about the Harley Joker relationship.
Well, that's where I'm worried, because this is Todd Phillips still.
Yeah.
And Todd Phillips doesn't always have the greatest things. My old podcast, go back and listen to the old Screen Rant Underground. We nearly broke that podcast on a movie he just produced, that Project X. We had a generational conversation.
What is it with Todd Phillips and almost breaking podcasts?
I don't know, man. Like, it's just part of my life. But like, yeah, me and good old Ben Kendrick, shout out to Ben Kendrick. Yeah, we had a conversation that got so personal that like about generational standards and what kids are up to. And by the way, Ben, you were dead wrong. Kids weren't just scooping X off the grass out of a broken little miniature dwarf puppet. They were starting to bang fentanyl, so you were dead wrong, my friend. But Todd Phillips movies, back to that. Yeah.
I don't know.
What were we talking about again?
Wow. I don't know how we got so far off the track.
Oh, man. Oh, yes. We were talking about what he could be saying. Yeah, this message could be something really gross and toxic. It could end up being really wrong. I'm not going to sit here and deny that. If it's like, yeah, this is the kind of love you want, and it's like some crazy abusive toxic love, sure. Like, yeah, we don't want that. Mm-hmm. Like, and as to Matt's point, in modern day, like, there has to be some kind of consideration of Harley and her character and her agency and, you know, coming through this, you know, to another side. So hopefully we get to that, or there's some other take on Joker's reaction to Harley than we've seen in the comics, because we certainly don't necessarily need that. I don't think that teaches us anything healthy, right?
No.
Yeah. I'm spoiled on White Knight. Like, that has kind of forever changed my viewpoint of a Harley Quinn story. And there's also like three others that came out, even a Black Label book that came out over the past couple years that have reframed how I see a lot of, and even the Harley, you know, geez, the Harley Quinn animated series. Like, there's so many things that like have reframed that character for me and what that story can be, that when we get back to just kind of basic Harley Joker stuff, I kind of tune out. Like, this is not what I look for in this.
The animated series for Harley Quinn, that's just one big middle finger to the cycle of abuse that the character found herself in for so long. And I wonder how much damage a movie like this could do if it just says, no, she's supposed to be like that. And it's like, no, that's, we've got 20 years of new media saying the opposite.
Yeah, but does Gaga sign on for a movie like that? I don't think so. I don't know.
No.
At least not at the initial thing. Not. I don't think she's... Gaga is, Kofi talked about it before, right? But, I mean, she's not just a music icon. She's a culture icon. I mean, there's a level of, like, going into something that I would expect from her and knowing, be like, I don't think she would sign on for something like that. Granted, we've seen things that start out a certain way and end up completely different, and people talk after the fact of like, that's not the movie I signed up for. That could always happen, but I don't know. I have a hard time believing that someone like her would, you know, just like willingly jump in and be like, yeah, that's the story I want to tell.
Are you saying this would be a Madam Web, Matt?
I mean, you know, let's, you never know, right? That.
We haven't seen the director's cut yet. Everybody calm down. in all seriousness, just to kind of close this out, as somebody, you know, me and Matt and even Connor, like, we get up here and as people with platforms and run our mouth and sometimes think we have a level of visibility, I hope this movie kind of just does the point that there is no like such thing as a great man, even a bad great man, without, you know, the support and insights of a great woman behind him. And that's kind of what we get. And so if it's like a happy love story with them burning down a city and kissing over the ashes of Gotham, like, that's a happy, cute story. You know what I mean? And like, it reverses, and like, Arthur Fleck really needs this Harley Quinn, and he's not like toxic about it. He's kind of, you know, not dependent, but you know what I'm trying to say here? Like, it's actual them and the power of Joker and Harley together being the thing, not just Joker. That'd be interesting, you know? And then we could kind of look at that. So, any parting thoughts you guys want to say? Because I definitely think it is getting crazier out here, Matt. You know what I mean?
Stop it.
All right. Thank you guys for hopping on, talking about this Joker trailer. We have a lot more going on. This was all part of CinemaCon 2024, which is unfolding in Las Vegas right now. Our man, Brandon Davis, is out there covering that, and we have all the latest insights about it on comicbook.com. If you're just catching our Joker trailer reactions, Comic Book Nation has a bunch of different shows under our umbrella. We have our Anime Initiative show. We have the Pull List, which is coming up next on the same channel, where we will be talking about the big comics of the week. So stay tuned for that. And we have our live show every Friday where we do everything and kind of go all across geek culture and tell you what's going on. Plus, a bunch of bonuses, reactions, and quick save our gaming segment every Thursday. So be sure to subscribe on your major podcast platform, subscribe to our YouTube page, and to Comic Book. All right. Thank you, guys. And we will see you guys out there, okay? Peace.
Later.
This is...